I came out today because women's rights are paramount to me as a black woman, and knowing that black women are not treated equally in healthcare and just rights and justice, I will always fight for myself, I will fight for my sisters, I will fight for black and brown women and all women to have justice and autonomy over their body.
We are here today honoring the lives of Candy Miller and Amber Thurman, two lives who were lost due to the anti-abortion ban in the state of Georgia. I am here as an activist for the Vote Socialist 2024 campaign, and our campaign stands with full women's rights, no matter their race, no matter their income or immigration status.
We cannot overstate that we are charging the system with the murder of Amber Thurman and Candy Miller. They should be here today with their families, with their communities, and with us. Amber Thurman.
Say her name.
Amber Thurman.
Say her name.
Candy Miller.
Say her name.
Candy Miller.
Say her name.
Wow, Sandy Rios with you. I'm not quite sure why they're so happy, cheerful even, that I don't understand their cheerleading about the death of these two girls, Amber Nicole Thurman and Candy Miller, as a result of, at least in Amber's case, taking the French abortion pills, plural, and leading to their death. I don't understand why that's a thing of cheer and why that's a thing to cheer even about women's autonomy. Are you kidding me? But we're going to get into that today. Amber Nicole Thurman is the story that the left has. It happened 2 years ago. She had twins, and she took the two abortion pills, and she ended up dying on a table in the hospital. That's a very truncated version, but that's just to give you an idea. We're going to talk about more of the details of that because I've referred to it, but I haven't taken the time to talk about the details of it because I used it in the preborn spots, so I didn't have time to expand it. But Josh, my leftist friend who listens and writes all the time, feels I've been dishonest about that. So we're going to tackle that today, talk about the details of the case, and respond to some of his questions. And we're going to talk to a researcher who can tell us a lot about the stats on the French abortion pill, and also, really importantly now, what the pro-life laws, like the ones in Georgia and other states, are they responsible for these deaths because doctors will not help these women in crisis? We're going to talk about that. Very important discussion on today's show. But first, all I can say and ever have said and will always say until my dying breath is that abortion kills babies and injures women in ways sometimes we can't see. Sometimes, like in the case of Amber, it causes death. It's not a small thing to take the life of your baby. And that's why preborn is doing its very best and actually being very successful at showing mothers pictures of their babies and praying that they will not make the choice to take the pill or to end the baby's life in an abortion clinic. Because it comes to no good for them either. It may be convenient at the time. It may be a relief of a real crisis situation. But it does not have a good ending because there's a long life before these girls that are finding themselves pregnant. They have a long life ahead of them. And there are implications that they cannot see. And until I can't talk again, I'll be trying to talk girls and women to help them to understand that's what we're trying to do. Preborn's trying to do that in this most beautiful way. It's a positive way to see that baby, you know, moving in a mom's womb. Many of you have already helped. I thank you for that. If you want to help today, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Well, you know you can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can catch the show at the website, sandyrios.com, or any podcast platform. And, of course, you can go to afr.net, which is our home base. Okay, so today's show is really important because of all the referendums around the country coming up for the November election on abortion, and it's being, you know, presented as though it's women's freedom, it's women's health. These horrible, no-good abortion restrictions are, you know, causing women to die because of the French abortion pill, causing these complications and doctors not helping them. That's the narrative. That's the narrative. Today, we hope to set the record straight on this edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
It's very disheartening that my sister was allowed to suffer for 20 hours. She suffered. It was nothing that we could do to help her. We trusted the healthcare professionals to do their job and save her, but they failed her.
When ProPublica came to my home, I pushed them away. No, 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 but Kavithia, she was persistent. She said, it was something that you needed to know. You have to hear me. Women around the world, people around the world need to know that this was preventable. She was loved by a family, a strong family. And we would have done whatever to get my baby, our baby, the help that she needed.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. Well, that was the sister and then the mother of Amber Nicole Thurman. I've mentioned Amber a few times when I was talking to you about preborn and the need to educate women so that they don't, you know, choose the abortion pill or any abortion. The story with Amber is very complicated, and we're going to get into that today, the real story, because I didn't have time in a short spot. But bottom line, she was having twins, and she took the abortion pill, and she ended up dying on the table, and that's a simplified story of it. It's heartbreaking. And so I have to tell you, as someone who's pro-life and hates this pill, hates it, I was in D.C. when it first came out. I used to do all kinds of interviews on the French abortion pill and why we should not legalize it. I still hate it. But that does not reduce my compassion for Amber, her mother, her sister. It's a horrific story. But what's happening is that the left is taking this story and others of women who are, you know, suffering really because of their choice to abort their babies. And in this case, Amber died because they're being led to believe that there's nothing, there's no big deal. It's just, you know, you have this, in some cases, telemedical appointment. They give you a pill, for heaven's sake. How complicated could it be? And so that's, I'm railing against that. I'm railing against that. And now the press is jumping in to encourage young women. This story actually happened 2 years ago. And now they're, of course, fanning the flames of it. ProPublica is leading the charge on that. But there are others. Because there are abortion amendments on the ballots around the country right before this election. A two-year-old story, still tragic, but now we are supposed to believe, according to ProPublica and other publications, that it is the fault of the pro-life laws in this case in Georgia that caused her death. It's their fault that she died, whipping up young women and girls around the country to vote for these amendments. It's become a political football. Abortion always has been. But we really do need to know the truth, don't we? If I thought that the abortion laws were preventing young women like Amber from getting, you know, their lives being saved on a medical table, I mean, that would be a huge conflict for me. So what is the truth here? I've asked Tessa Cole to join us this morning. She's the senior research associate for the Charlotte Lozier Institute. Charlotte Lozier is a think tank affiliated with Susan B. Anthony, and they do all kinds of research on women and abortion. So Tessa Cox, senior research associate for Charlotte Lozier, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me on, Sandy.
Tessa, I would really be curious, because as you heard me say before you actually spoke, that I was really involved in media. I was doing a lot of television when the RU-46 pill was being discussed to be legalized, and we were fighting it like crazy. and I had to become sort of an expert on it. But I really don't know now what the stats, beyond the fact that I think the majority of abortions are performed through these two pills that are given. What can you tell us about, what is it showing? What is it doing to women? What are the stats on injuries and the effect on them? Do we know yet?
Well, you are absolutely right that these are dangerous pills, and I'm glad to know that you were so involved in trying to keep them from coming to the United States, because they've been here for two decades now and have increasingly been used, are increasingly prevalent, now the most common method of abortion. Estimates show that more than 63% of all abortions now are performed using the abortion pill. And of course, we're talking about mifepristone or RU486 and misoprostol. So you take that mifepristone, which blocks progesterone, which blocks that hormone necessary for sustaining pregnancy, and then misoprostol, which causes contractions and cramping that expel the unborn baby and the other pregnancy tissue from the woman's uterus. And this can be a violent process, a lot of cramping, a lot of bleeding, and it's something that women are going through alone, usually, in their bathroom, by themselves, without the oversight of a doctor. And these drugs can be very risky. We've seen that from good, high-quality studies that they have four times the complication rate of surgical abortion, that the risks go up the later in pregnancy that they're used. And that they can put women at risk for severe complications like infection, which can even lead to sepsis or even death. And the FDA has recognized this all along, and that's why they maintain a black box warning on the abortion pill, which is the highest level of warning that they can put on a drug, alerting doctors, alerting women who might take these drugs, that there is this risk of sepsis and other complications. So very dangerous drugs end the lives of unborn babies, but also harm their mothers as well.
Well absolutely. And you know, the thing that I do say this a lot, because Preborn is a sponsor of the show, so I address this every day on the podcast in various forms. And I think the abortion pill is the thing that has me the most torqued right now. Because it's such a lie. It's such a lie what they're presenting to women. In fact, telehealth providers and other people, abortion supporters, are telling us that the pill is safe and effective. And we know that that's not true, because Tessa, as far as I know, there's not any even legitimate follow-up, personal follow-up after they take these two pills. Is that across the board? Or is there some kind of monitoring of how girls are doing after they take it that's in place?
There is very little medical oversight now, and this is something that the abortion industry had been pushing for decades. When the abortion pill was first approved in the United States, the FDA recognized that these drugs carried risks, and so they put important safeguards in place. Not just anyone could dispense the drugs. They had to have gone through a certification process. They had to be able to provide the necessary follow-up care, make sure that everything had worked and that the woman wasn't experiencing a complication. Over the years, the abortion industry has chipped away at those safeguards. They have reduced the number of visits required, eliminated that follow-up visit. They have pushed the use of these abortion pills further and further into pregnancy at later gestational ages when we know that complications increase. They've changed it so that doctors aren't the only ones prescribing them. Now other healthcare professionals can as well. Eliminated complication reporting. And then most recently, they took advantage of the COVID-19 pandemic to argue that women didn't even need to see a doctor in person anymore, didn't need to have any in-person care. And now, as a result of this change, women can go online, fill out a form, order the abortion pill, and have it mailed to their house without ever actually talking to a doctor or being seen in person. So there's very little oversight, and it's led to cases of women not receiving the medical care that they need because they're just not getting the attention from a doctor.
Well, that makes it really hard for you to have research on it too, doesn't it? I mean, to know what the effects of this pill are on women who are taking it, if they're not even seeing a doctor, there's no measurement, or unless you hear it in the news, is that correct? Or do you have ways of knowing?
Well, certainly our data is very poor, and it's gotten worse since, like I said, the FDA changed complication reporting requirements. So now the only complications that are recorded are deaths. And even then, we know we're likely missing information on deaths. But we have done some research looking at abortions that were funded by Medicaid in states that use their own tax dollars to fund abortion. And we've looked at these abortion pills that were paid for by state tax dollars and then followed them out to see, did women end up in the emergency room? What did that look like? And we actually just published a study looking at the acuity or the severity and complexity of emergency department visits after abortion. And we found that for women who had these abortions with pills, these chemical abortions, their emergency department visits in the 30 days following the abortion were twice as likely to be the most severe and the most complex compared to women who gave birth and were never pregnant. And that the number of emergency department visits have been increasing. So we know that women are increasingly ending up in the emergency room, and that when they do, these visits tend to be the most severe. So concerning to see that these drugs are having an impact on women's health like that.
All right. So the second part of this, which is what I really want us to get to, is that we have now media like ProPublica and other outlets telling young women especially, that the reason, for instance, that Amber Nicole Thurman died on an operating table was because of the pro-life laws in Georgia. Now, this is complicated, Tessa, but I can see you're a clear communicator. We need to know. I would want to know. Are pro-life laws, like the ones in Georgia, they have the heartbeat law where it's I've got the words of it. Basically, if the baby's heart is beating, it's illegal to take its life in some form of abortion. So is that what caused Amber Nicole Thurman to die on that table?
Well, it's so heartbreaking to see these recent cases. Amber's death, another woman, Candy, who died in Georgia, and to see these deaths that we don't have all of the details yet, but they seem like they were preventable, caused by abortion drugs and could have been prevented. But Georgia law is very clear. Doctors can intervene in medical emergencies. Doctors should intervene in medical emergencies. And there is nothing in Georgia's pro-life law that would have prevented Amber or anyone else from getting the care that she needed. In fact, the law includes an exception for medical emergencies, and the risk doesn't need to be immediate. So as soon as a doctor knows that there's a complication, and we know that in all pregnancies, there's always a risk something could go wrong, these heartbreaking, devastating cases, as soon as the doctor knows that there's something wrong here, the woman's life is at risk, something could be endangering her, the doctor can intervene, and the doctor should provide the woman with the care that she needs. The fact that Amber lost her life is tragic and unnecessary.
As I understand it, she got the pills in North Carolina because Georgia would not allow the French abortion pill to be sold, the pills, plural. And then she came back to Georgia, but all the baby's parts didn't come out. So that's what caused the infection, as far as we know. So this was not a matter of her going to the doctor to get an abortion. She had an infection, and the baby was already dead. The baby is killed when, as you described, with that first pill. It kills the baby. And so the baby was mostly gone, but she had parts. It's so what they needed to do, I guess, Tessa, of course, I'm not a doctor. I'm assuming they needed to do a D&C, and that's not illegal. That's what you're trying to say, I believe.
Yes, you are absolutely correct. She went out of state. The abortion center in another state gave her the abortion pill, which did not fully complete the abortion. And this is a known complication. This is a known risk of abortion drugs. which is why, like I said earlier, the FDA has this black box warning on the abortion pill, warning women, warning doctors of this risk of sepsis, even this risk of death if the woman doesn't get the care that she needs. So the doctors who saw Amber, and we don't know all of their reasoning. We're still waiting on a lot of details in this case to come out, but the pro-life law is being blamed. Even when the law has exceptions for a medical emergency, and in this case, it seems apparent that, tragically, Amber's unborn babies were no longer alive, in which case, under the law, it would not have been considered an abortion at all, because according to Georgia law, an abortion is something that's done to end the life of an unborn baby. If the baby has tragically already passed away, then it isn't an abortion. And the law is clear that doctors are able to intervene and able to provide care in these medical emergencies. So the fact that Amber lost her life and lost her life to these dangerous abortion drugs that we know carry risks of complications, carry risks of infection or even sepsis, is tragic. But, you know, Sandy, this isn't something that's unique to pro-life states, and I think that's something that can be lost in the conversation. These sorts of complications, deaths, have happened all over the country, including in states that are very permissive, very even extreme on abortion. There was a case right around the same time that Amber lost her life of another young woman in Nevada, which is very permissive of abortion. And again, that young woman was given the abortion pill, had a complication, and there's now a lawsuit going on because it seems like the hospital, similar to an Amber's case, didn't intervene in time to save her life. So it's not the fault of pro-life laws. It's the fault of these dangerous abortion pills and the complications that they're causing to women.
You know, one of my greatest frustrations, Tessa, and I know that you're not a political organization, you're sort of a think tank. You have a special designation in tax law. But I am beyond frustrated that pro-life groups are not running counter ads. If they are, I don't know about it, because there are so many horrible stories. I was talking to the head of Preborn, Dan Steiner, just recently. And Dan told me that there was a girl who took the abortion pills at home and came to a Preborn clinic holding the baby that had resulted, the dead baby, begging them to save her baby. But, of course, they couldn't. And I think there are stories like that. There are family members. There are girls, maybe, who would speak out about it. I think there are compelling commercials or spots or social media posts that could counter this horrible, dangerous messaging of our current media and our current pro-death culture that are persuading girls and not warning them about the dangers. This is so cruel, really, to encourage them to do this and to tell them that it's no big deal is just such a horrific, deadly lie. I wish our side would counter. Is there something I don't know about?
Well, you are so right that all of the information that young women are hearing from the abortion industry, from the media, is that abortion pills are safe, that the process is easy, and that there's nothing to worry about. Sometimes I like to put myself in the shoes of a young woman considering abortion, maybe someone right around my age, and I just go online and see what is the information that she would be seeing. And again, it makes it seem so easy, but we know it's not. We know that the abortion pill carries these significant risks, significant complications, and it's going to end an unborn human life. And that heartbreaking story that you just shared of the pregnancy center trying to help this young woman as she's holding her baby's body, I've heard similar stories from pregnancy centers across the country that they're now trying to serve women who have been devastated by the abortion pill and did not know what they were getting themselves into because the abortion center told them that it would be quick and easy, and then they're experiencing horrific pain, horrific bleeding, and coming face-to-face with their unborn baby, which is just so heartbreaking and so tragic. And so, yes, there is a lot to be done to counter this misinformation from the abortion industry. And at Charlotte Lozier Institute, part of what we do is try to put out the high quality studies that no one else is doing and research this. Looking at emergency department visits, trying to shine a light on what's going on. And fortunately, we've also seen pro-life states really stepping up and working to counter a lot of the misinformation that's going around, explaining their laws, explaining their pro-life laws, educating doctors, educating women. They want women to know that they can get the care that they need in medical emergencies, and they want doctors to know that they are free to act to save a woman's life in a medical emergency. And so states have really stepped up to provide that clarity that doctors aren't getting from the big medical organizations, that they're not always getting from their hospital systems. And I think we need more of that, of states providing the clarity that doctors need so that they know that they can act and no pro-life law is preventing them from acting.
Well, I think you guys have, thank you for providing the research, Tessa. It's so important. And I'll be spreading the word. Hopefully this show itself will spread the word. But I know a doctor is very involved in this and will be interested in your research. And I think others listening will also, because the truth, of course, is the antidote for all the lies. But sometimes it takes a time for the truth to get down into the bone and the marrow of people that are filled with the social media and lying press, you know, people that just love death. And we're surrounded by it. But Tessa, thank you for, it's great to talk to you this morning. Really nice to meet you. Tessa Cox, Senior Research Associate for the Charlotte Lozier Institute. And please take care, and hopefully we can talk again, okay?
Thanks so much for having me on.
Okay, my pleasure. Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Abortions performed by Planned Parenthood were among the top leading causes of death in America, revealing the terrifying truth of the left's anti-life agenda. According to Planned Parenthood's 2022-23 annual report, abortions performed by the organization accounted for the top four leading causes of death. Think about that. Paid for by our tax dollars. And honestly, this freight train is going down the track so fast and so powerfully. It's really hard. It's going to be hard for us to stop this. And I think one of the best ways, I've said before, I'll say again, is preborn. Preborn, who is not part of the government, not part of the public debate or campaigns, but an organization that's simply providing ultrasounds for moms who are pregnant and doubting whether they should carry the baby to allow them to see their baby through ultrasound. It's an amazing process, and it actually works. When the moms see their babies, I think it doubles the chance that they will not take the life of their baby. You know, you can't beat those odds. If you'd like to help, $28 pays for one ultrasound, just one, and you can send however much you can afford. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, it's Sandy Rios, your old friend from the morning show. So many crucial and frightening events are unfolding before our eyes that we have decided to re-engage with the daily news on Sandy Rios 24/7 as we once did in the mornings. I want to invite you to come over to the podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, so that we can work our way through these difficult times together. Just go to AFR.net or any podcast platform. You can also find Sandy Rios 24/7 at sandyrios.com. And one more thing, a fun thing. My book, God's Velvet Hammer, is now on Audible. Sometimes listening is better than reading. I recorded it in my own voice, which makes it even more personal for all of you who know me so well. Audible books are available on Amazon.com. God bless each and every one of you for your faithfulness to Him. My prayer is that as we stand together in this battle, we can finish well.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Amber Nicole Thurman would be alive tonight. She would be a healthy, happy mother of her young son. When I was 6 years old, my mother had the same medical procedure that Amber Nicole Thurman desperately needed to live. She suffered a miscarriage, and she routinely had a DNC at a local hospital in Boston years before abortion was legal, because DNC has absolutely nothing to do with abortion. If a politician interfered with that procedure and killed my mother when I was 6 years old, who's going to tell that boy?
All right, Sandy, back with you. Sandy, as in Rios, on Sandy Rios 24/7. All right, well, Josh has written. Josh, if you've been a listener for a long time, he's a school teacher, and he has written often through the years for the morning show. He and I disagree on most everything. And so he takes me to task over Amber Nicole Thurman. As I said, I used Amber's story to talk about preborn, which I think is perfectly appropriate. But I'll tell you what his particular beef is with me. He said, "You have spouted a host of speculative untruths lately on your show, but I wanted to take particular exception with your discussion of Amber Nicole Thurman from Georgia, who lost her life due to her home state's draconian abortion laws. Your take was that everything would have been all right if Thurman had simply been shown an ultrasound and decided to keep her twins. You blamed her. She's responsible. She took the pills." Well, first of all, Josh, it is true that a mom who decides to abort her baby then dies as a result of that is responsible for their deaths. Maybe, I know that doesn't bother you. It doesn't seem to bother you, but it bothers me. But that doesn't mean I don't have compassion for her. It's terrible. The choice she made is terrible. And what happened to her is terrible. The sorrow of her family, her mom and her sister that we heard at the beginning of the show, it's heartbreaking. But it's still true that Amber decided to do that. And that decision was deadly. It's like if you understand, surely you must. And then Josh goes on to say, "But man, did you leave out some important details." Yes, I did, because I was not in a position in a spot to tell the whole story. But I'll let you tell it here. "You failed to mention that Thurman, you referred to her as a girl, even though she was 28, was already the mother of a six-year-old. The impression you seem to want your listeners to be left with is that women who have abortions are typically young, reckless, and child-free." Well, Josh, you, I'm older now, and to me, 28 is a girl. Okay, sorry. I'm sorry, you're attributing something to me that I never thought of. But I do fully understand that women of all ages that can still have children have abortions. And then he goes on to say that 3 to 5% of medical abortions result in a complication like Thurman developed. I'm not sure where you get your stats. If you go to Guttmacher, that's the Planned Parenthood think tank. And I have known for a long time that Planned Parenthood is the largest abortion provider in the country. You think that might affect the stats of Guttmacher? I don't know. Maybe you got this somewhere else from another article, but I guess they went to Guttmacher. But he said it's true. There are medical abortions that result in complications. I guess so. Back to Josh. "But it is easily treated with a routine procedure at any hospital." Really, Josh? This just shows, you're a guy. You don't understand how not easy it is for a woman to give birth to a baby or to have a DNC or to go through an abortion. You don't get it. It's not easy. None of it's easily. None. To move on with Josh's words, Thurman did not want an abortion for frivolous reasons, according to ProPublica, which according to you is, I guess, the gospel here. Maybe that's where you're getting your information. They had a... Okay, let me just pause to say, Josh, why did they do this 2 years after her death? Why didn't they, if they were so upset about this, why didn't they talk about it then? But now they bring this up right before the election. It just smells of politics to me, but, you know, I guess the whole world is politics. But so long as you understand that they may not be the most trustworthy source right now. They might have an agenda, but who knows? But they say that she'd recently, meaning Amber, recently moved out of her family home into her own apartment and was aiming to enroll in nursing school. The prospect of raising twins in addition to her six-year-old as a single mom would not have allowed her the ability to have a career or to earn enough money to support everyone involved. So, Josh, think about what you just said. So she was forced to kill her twins. She really had to do that because she wanted to go to nursing school. Look, if the death of the babies doesn't matter to you, I understand why you say that. I get that. But you just take it too lightly, and so do people in our culture. It's a very big deal to take the life of anyone, especially an innocent child. And I, of course, think of it from the perspective of God's view of life. He values life. He instills in us life. He tells us we'd better not take innocent life. He says that even before he gives the commandments. He talks about that in Genesis. So I don't know where you are with God. I'm not sure you ever weighed in on that. But you can't argue with him. This is not, if God says don't take human life, innocent human life, do not shed the blood of innocent life, and you're going to do that because you want to go to nursing school, or have a better income to raise your current child. There are other ways. You must, you know, I know you'll flip out if I tell you what other things you could do. Like you could stop having sex with other men. You could take birth control if you must, if you can't control yourself. You rein it in a little bit. You have to use self-control. And I'm talking to all women. I'm talking to all of you right now that are female. It's not a small thing to take the life of your baby. And just because the culture tells you it's okay, it isn't okay. Just because it's legal doesn't mean it's moral. So, okay, not that I care or anything. So I just think that I can't believe that you think that's okay. That because you want to go to nursing school, you should, you know, it's too inconvenient to have these babies. So you'll just do away with them. In the toilet really is what it amounts to. Josh, you're not a woman. You have no idea how traumatic that is. I can't even imagine the trauma that Amber Nicole Thurman went through. Anyway, I'm going to move to the head. He blames the Georgia abortion law, and we just talked about that with Tessa, so I won't go through that again. But he says, the tragic facts of this case are inconvenient for your narrative that the abortion pills are unsafe and kill women who use them as birth control. I've never said that they kill the women all the time. They do kill them sometimes because obviously they do. We're talking about Amber Nicole. Sometimes they do. They create these infections, as Tessa talked to you about. Sometimes they do. I've never said that the abortion pill kills. It kills them spiritually, I think. I think it really damages them spiritually. You've got to face reality. This is Josh. Women's bodily autonomy has been compromised throughout this country, and it will continue to kill too many and leave too many children without parents. Thurman's death is the fault of anti-choice activists and politicians who ignore best practices for medical care and the lived experiences of millions of women who want agency over their lives and their families' well-being. Oh boy, Josh, you are just so thoroughly indoctrinated. I guess most of your generation is. And I don't know how you would know about the lived experiences of millions of women, but I've lived a long time. I know a little bit about the lived experience of women, maybe a little bit more than you do. And I'm just telling you, based on what I've seen in my lifetime, abortion has done so much damage to women. There are other ways of doing harm besides even the physical. There's the mental, there's the emotional, there's this breach, the terrible, really, sin. Being responsible for the death of your child, that's something you can't just wipe out with an eraser because you have a great career. And so women get embittered, they get angry, and that's what I see. You and I will never agree on this. It'll never be right to take the baby, life of your baby, Josh. And you will never, don't you ever say that this is no big deal. Don't you ever say that. And I would have bet, if I would just actually throw this challenge out, if there are any women listening to me who would want to write, who've had abortions, and you don't have to tell me who you are, you can, I won't ever call your name out or anything, but I wish I had a phone line to open up. But if you have a story that you would like to share with Josh, respectfully, always, as a guy, a young guy who thinks he knows all about this, and you have other things to tell, I'm not just, I've not had an abortion, so I can't, I can't speak to having it experientially, but some of you have. And if you have something to say to him, you can change your name, whatever. I promise I will not. That's not important to me. I want to say to all of you and to Josh, too, that there's nothing God can't forgive. Nothing. He removes our sins as far as the East is from the West. And I know there are a lot of certainly Christian women at later on in their lives who do ask God for God's forgiveness. Sometimes it's hard to get past it, but they do. And God does forgive because, after all, we are all sinners. And so I don't have a condemnation in my heart for this. I just try to stop people from doing it. I just want you to stop. It's like the woman caught in adultery when Jesus just said to her, he said, I don't condemn you. Just go. Your sins are forgiven. I can't say that, but Jesus did. Your sins are forgiven. And then he said, go now and sin no more. I believe he's our example. Just don't do it. Stop your daughters. Stop telling them it's okay. Stop encouraging it. But let's get it right. Maybe set people straight by your story. So if you want to send your story, send it to sandy@afr.net, sandy@afr.net, or you can call and leave a message at 662-821-2040, 662-821-2040. We all need to work together, women who have aborted, women who have not, to help change this culture's mind. And help to change the mind of younger women. And yes, Josh, young women that are 28. So girls that are 28. All right. We would love to hear from you. You'd be doing a great service. You know where you can find us on all the social media platforms. Twitter is the one I'm most active on. You can find the podcast at afr.net or at any podcast platform. Or you can go to sandyrios.com and listen anytime you want to. I want to thank our sponsors, Timothy Plan. Is a place where you put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN, 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Thanks for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.